I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Machen Page App podcast. I am Mach. I am joined from afar by the man, the legend, Mr. Chris Pajak.
Hello, mate. How are you? I'm good. I'm not good at all.
No, how are you coping?
I'm not coping well.
It's been trying times. I think what we're going to do is, with this one, we're going to try and hopefully make everyone feel better by sharing our isolation experiences thus far, and some tips on how we've managed to survive. I'm not sure. Is that your family bursting in already?
On 30 seconds.
That's brilliant.
They're smashing the door.
They're trying to kick the door. This is problem number one that people at home. I've seen a rise of this right on social media in this last week or so of people saying
they're crying. Yeah, there's crying.
One of them will tend to the other one.
Oh no!
What?
So you won't have been able to hear that, but on the Bluetooth headphones, if you press it once, it plays the music, so iTunes just opened and started blasting the whole steady down my ears. Because I'd slightly adjusted it just to listen to the kids crying, put it back in, press the button, hold steady. I mean, don't get me wrong, at some point, if you see me flick it and put hold steady on, it's because I'm bored of listening to you
talk. Yeah, I was going to say,
okay,
you've set yourself up a perfect backup plan for not having to listen to me anymore. I think that's pretty much
what my dad does in life anyway, Paul, you know what I mean? Because he's there, and then you'll see me ma talking to him, and my dad's got hearing aids now, and he'll just go, flick. And he'll just turn them off mid-conversation when my mum's talking.
I love that, because your dad, the story that when your dad got his hearing aids and he realised, as everyone does, I remember you telling me this story when you first got your glasses, that you don't realise what you've lost until you get it back, and how, like, this obviously, like, Andy not being able to hear, I think you said something like, you could hear a noise and he was getting dead angry, like, what's this noise? And it was just like someone rustling a carrier bag in the kitchen. And I love that notion that like, he's not been able to listen to your mum wittering for years and years and years, and it's just now he's got to go through it. It's the equivalent, we mentioned this the other week, about my dad and the pause, isn't it? Except your dad's got it down to another level. He can literally unplug the audio from his wife.
You want to see him when he goes to the pub, like, he gets so angry, because the problem with hearing aids, as he's told me anyway, is that you hear everything. So it's not just like, you're not just hearing the person across the table from you, you're hearing every conversation, and he's just like getting riled up, and I'm like, daddy, you're okay? And he's like, his blood's boiling, and he's looking at me like he's going to kill me, and I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, nobbets over there talking about some shit.
It's like Smallville. It's like when Clark Kent first unlocks his hearing powers. Oh my God, that's what it's like to be basically deaf. Wow, yeah, so I never thought about that.
He gets so annoyed because it's like, you can't. I think there's a sound on his hearing aid anyway that's probably worse than the other. So if there's like music on in the background of a boozer or something, the music will be what he can hear dead loud because it picks up like the bass or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's, you can just see a tell on earth, and he just walks into places and he gives it about 3 seconds and goes, no, too much for me, off. And then he'll just sit there and just like smile.
Smile and
like,
nod.
And literally he's just there going, he goes to mum, he's got no idea what we're saying, does he? He's got no idea whatsoever. He's happy though, isn't he? he seems it's to think he's got another empty pint in front of him, so why not?
As long as he's happy. I love that. I love the fact that it's just... Because we've all had those moments where we've generally when you cross the threshold of pissness and you're unable to contribute to the conversation in a meaningful way anymore. And if you're in the happy level of haze, then you can basically just, yeah, dude, I remember there was a great... I remember Steve Hall pointing this out to me after we did our first Deadline Day show. And we all went out to town. Did you come to town with us after that? You must have done. There's no way you turned down a bevy. Surely. We went to town anyway.
Yeah, I did.
We went to town and we ended up in Hannah's bar. And we've been there for about half an hour. And Steve pointed out that basically what happened was I was absolutely ruined after that first show. And I just kind of sat there and I just slump and I just kind of drift into my own little world. And he said, but what had happened is someone had engaged with me and I'd perk up again because I knew I had to perk up because obviously I just had this, whatever it was, 8 hours of live streaming at this point. So it'd just be like, and what do you think about it? But, yeah. That must be what it must be what it's like to be your dad, just sitting in his own happy little world. Probably singing some sort of merry tune in his head while he just gradually gets more and more drunk. I think that's a wonderful... I wish I could live like that at the moment, if I'm perfectly honest.
I think he enjoys it at times. I think he hates it at times as well. But I think... Yeah, he's quite... I think, generally speaking, he's probably quite happy with it, to be honest with you. Doesn't seem to like us all very much, you know what I mean?
There's been this rise in recent weeks of on social media of people saying, can I just say, I'm so glad I haven't got kids. And loads of people saying, it's funny, all the, oh, you should have a kid. It's an absolute joy in your life. Crew have all gone very, very quiet on social media. Can't imagine why, Chris.
Mate, there's a few things here that we've got to talk about. One is going out for condoms an essential business?
Okay,
because it doesn't come across like it is, but like I'm not having no more.
It feels like the kind of legging it out to buy a Johnny feels very like I haven't had to do that since I was 18, and it does feel like the act of someone who's living a better life than you. Oh, look at this wild man legging it out to buy Johnny's at 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, he can't be isolating. No, I very much am isolating. I have just no intention of having any more children because the two I've got are fucking killing me. Yeah, but have I got it? Have I nailed it? Yeah, absolutely. I thought as much. Joy, Chris. They are a joy.
They are. Anyone who has seen my YouTube channel will know that I've done a little bit of vlogging and stuff with them, and they are. They're absolutely brilliant. But they're brilliant in situations when you're allowing them to be brilliant. And they're brilliant in situations like home life. They're not brilliant in situations like your fucking job. Like, they're not brilliant in those situations. And unfortunately, those situations right now are one and the same. So for the 3 hours after work, brilliant. For the 3 hours in the morning before work, absolutely brilliant. For the 8 hours in work, I just want to punch the faces in.
I think I've brought my son to work a couple of times, and there was one when it was we were redoing the Redmen studio for the most recent time, and we were putting the finishing touches to it, and he was so excited about coming into work. He was so excited to get in the office, and you know, because they've got, you know, plenty of stuff here to keep entertained. There's God knows how many games, consoles and toys and all that kind of stuff. But I ended up just being proper arse to him, because there's only so much attention you can give a child when you're also trying to focus on something else. And I find this as a parent, when I raise my voice to my kids, it's more often than not because I'm trying to do something else, and the noise that they're doing is like the noise your kids make when they're trying to get your attention is a frequency that only impacts your own personal brainwaves. And what it's like putting a magnet next to a telly. Is what it's like having your kids near you when you're trying to accomplish anything. So I've not been too bad so far, because obviously I've been out for the count for the first kind of 2 weeks of this. But I've seen when we've already had it. Your kids have already tried to break into the room while we've been trying to record this. And I know what really annoyed you is you very specifically said, like, I'm doing this. everyone leave me alone for this period of time, and that makes it even worse because kids, they do what they want.
They do, mate. It's depression, to be honest with you. But like, I even got to the point last week where this is now 2.5 weeks I've been working at home. So it, like, 1 week of that Robin was in school, 1 week Lyra was here in the mornings with me before nursery. That was the best week we've had. The second week they were both here, but Kat's not well, as you know. So that's just been tough. She's still not really changed, but she's able to help a little bit more during the daytimes and stuff, which has been a bit of a godsend, to be honest with you. And then as far as, so like, what I've tried loads of different strategies, because I'm a strategist at heart, Machen, as you well know. My first strategy was, right, okay, think this through. What are you going to do? Right, you're going to create an area of the house where they're not allowed sound. Sounds dead easy. It's not dead easy at all. What I'll do is, when I'm working in the dining room or I'm working in the living room, come and talk to me. That's fine. But when I go upstairs into the bunker, then that's daddy's space, okay?
This is like,
that was like giving them a target for a heat seeker missile. That was like, what are you doing? No, where are you?
We'll challenge accepted.
Should we go and check where he is? He's in there. Should we see? And then it's like, Lyra. And you hear them whispering outside the door, Lyra. Because Robin's the ringleader because she's the oldest. Let's see if daddy notices us. because I'm a strategist, I've set my desk up halfway through the room. So if they walk into the room, I have a little bit of time where I could maybe mute my microphone and then scream at them and tell them to get out the room before they jump onto camera. But then what I do is I'm looking and I can see that the door handle's quite high. It's just in Robin's reach. So I see it shaking around a little bit first so you can hear it. And then the door opens and then they crawl in with a big smile on the face. And then they're like... And then they run back and I've seen them and I'm like raging with them, but I'm also in a boss game of hide and seek with my kids, so I can't be too angry.
You've done it, the setup you've got, and I think whether this is by choice or by circumstance of not having the door in shot is a genius move, because we've all seen that the BBC fella who had the baby come in and being lashed out. That problem I've got with my setup at home, and this is the thing that people don't realise, like, some people are made up to be working from home, absolutely made up. For me, like, working from home was my first stage to building all the things that we've built. I hate it. Can't stand it, because for me it's like, I always remember a story about when Simon Cowell kind of, it all went tits up for him and he basically ended up back in his mum and dad's house, and that's what it feels like, because I'm not even back in my original office, because that's now my daughter's bedroom. I'm now in my son's bedroom with, again, there's the door in the right in the back, because nowhere else, because he's the only one who's got a desk in the house. I've got the dining room table, except the kitchen's open plan, so that's like the biggest room in the whole house that I would be taking out just to be involved in that room while they're awake. There's nowhere else that's got a flat surface that isn't covered in shite for me that I can work. So I've got him based in his room, and I'm on a countdown, Chris. I'm on a countdown to one of them moments where just one of them just decides that they're just gonna pop in behind. Because I had it, because I did a video on my channel when I first got sick, just kind of like doing an update and talking about being in lockdown and whatever. Yeah, and Jack just come in, and it's that moment of like, how long can I keep this up for? It was fun and it was great, and I had a little chat with him, and then he doesn't get that, like, he's still on camera and there's a purpose to what you're trying to do on camera, and he just, so there's a wonderful like crossfades in the middle of it, and I just go, anyway, he's just gone on to do what he was doing, when it was like, right, phone down, get out, what are you doing? You're breaking protocol, you're breaking filming protocol. Yeah, bless him, because he doesn't get it yet. He's desperate to get it, but he doesn't get it.
I was doing a podcast yesterday with Kenny Dalglish and Paul Dalglish and Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index, and Robin came bursting into the room, but because of that warning sign of the shaky door handle,
it's like Jurassic Park with the cup of water, isn't it? It's what you've got.
Mate, that's exactly what it's like, but the desk starts shaking and I'm like, and the eyes start flickering up at the door. Like, I mean, we were doing one yesterday for Redmen, And Ross noticed because I kept like looking up at the door handle, like, and he's laughing his head off because he's seen me do it last week as well. And he's like, yeah. I know what that is. The kids are coming in. I'm like, shit, the kids are coming in. Right. How do I stop this? But like the other day, I was working here, and this desk is so old, right? That I'm going to take a photo of it for you because you can probably put it in. So this desk is so old that it's got a drawer. Look, can you see that mic? Oh.
Yeah,
right, the mic got a is
keyboard,
okay.
A keyboard
so
drawer.
It's a keyboard drawer. So I was working on the drawer the other day. I've lowered the chair down for some reason. I think I was just bored and needed something to do other than get a chocolate hobnob. So I pulled the drawer out. I was working on it. And then all of a sudden, I kind of looked up because I've got a one-track mind. Like it's the definition of it. I can work on one thing at a time and that's it. And I'll give all my energies to that one thing. And I didn't notice Robin had come into the room. And then I looked around and there was like a small tripod on one corner of the desk. There was something else. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was a laptop on the other corner of the desk and a towel hanging down off the back. And I'm like, fuck's going on here? Like, you know what I mean? I'm looking at fucking weird. Anyway, they're not there sounds. And I got up and I slammed the drawer and Robin was underneath my desk. She'd made a fucking tent and she'd thrown the towel down as a tent and I'd slammed her head with the drawer and she come out. She's like, ah! I was like, what? And she's like, fucking comes out her lip bleeding. And like, there's about 20 Barbie dolls under there with her and there was like clothes on the thing and I was like, oh babe, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you were there because I just saw the towel and was like, oh, what's going on? Lifted up, slammed the door.
Brilliant. Well, the good thing about that, you use it to mop up the blood. Perfect. It's like she knew. We had this conversation, didn't we, before when we did the early days of this about how like vlogs and videos and working from home was just going to be like a documentary of child abuse. And you were like, well, no, not while I'm editing, Paul. You're allowed to do that. It's like, there isn't visual doc. This could just be a joke. You know, like, you know, anyone who listens to Adam Rose podcast, anyone who listens to stand-up comedians, they just make shit up. They're just liars, basically, for comedic effect. You know, let's leave that one open-ended. Did Chris really smash a sliding keyboard drawer/shelf/desk
it's just
into his daughter's face?
So we were playing the other night, and she was just... You play rough, don't you? You know, you mess around and you tickle them and all that type of stuff. And I'm always the monster and they're always trying to get away. And it's a repetitive game. I'm not sure how the scoring system works and I'm not sure when the game ends. But it is what it is. We play it every day for hours. And Robin, I was lying on the floor and Lyra had come in with an elbow drop of something. No, knee drop it was. A knee drop to the stomach. And, you know,
small people.
For little people that don't know what a penis is, right? They seem to know exactly where the penis is a lot, right? Don't they though?
Honestly, like I get it. There was like a point as a child.
Let me finish this. So Lyra isn't just knee drop me in the bollocks, and then I open my eyes to see a small foot coming down on my face, right? So Robin's now smashed their foot into my face to the point where she's cut my nose where the glasses go into it. Yeah, yeah. And all it needed was it to walk off and go, that's for slamming me face in a drawer.
And that's the bottom line. Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, they know what they do, the brutal kids are absolutely brutal. So I, not quite the same, but I posted on Instagram that I was feeling a bit better and I was playing with the kids in the garden. And I was playing with Penny, my daughter, and we were running around like the play area of the garden, which is fine, absolutely fine, playing tick or whatever. And I started to run away from her, and she's gotten quite nippy over a few yards. Like, she's little, she's got a low center of gravity, she's not a baby anymore, so she's actually gotten a little bit more rapid than I remember being. So I really had to pour the afterburners on as I turned the corner around the bottom of the slide. But unfortunately, we've got like, you'll know, Chris, but of course, but for the viewers watching at home, we used to have a pond. This makes me sound like the most middle-class person ever. It's not that big a house, just happened to have a pond.
At the end of the garden, though, Paul, this was the second garden, people, second. For anyone thinking, oh, the play area, the pond, down the end of the garden with the Poddington peas. Lovely it was.
I do live in Dove Cot, just to clarify this. So we put some plywood down over it, and there's some, like, paving slabs gone down. and then we put a load of like bark and stuff to make it a little bit more soft. Yeah, I
when
didn't
you
realize...
say we put it all down.
Don't be daft. It wasn't me, Chris. We all know it was.
Who was it?
It was my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law. No, I don't do any manual labour around our house. Now that is middle class for you. But I didn't realise there were paving slabs down because I just thought it was just soft, generally soft shit. Oh no. So as I come pelting away from it, and it's a very, you know, it's quite a compact area, so I've got to have a very tight turning circle, and I turned round the slide, and my foot absolutely went from under me, and I landed knee first on what was a concrete slab underneath, and immediately, like, but now we had the conversation last week about how I'm a horrible human being, and how I'm the worst person to have around in this situation. Mercifully, my daughter, although she's about 35% evil, she doesn't seem to possess this here. She saw the look of pain on my face etched across Daddy's face, saw the tears welling, and the noise that was a bit akin to the Peter Griffin falling down and doing that.
Yeah.
But it was weird. I was like, ah, and I kind of rolled over, and I put this photo on Instagram of like my skinned knee, which was like, this story makes it sound like, oh my God, you massive fanny, you got a bit of a skinned knee. Like, I don't know if it's worth me putting a video or clip in, but my hope all round my knee now is yellow, and all the way down the front of my shin. I haven't had a bruise like that since I used to play 11-a-side footy, and you're playing goal and you get crunched by someone. My knee has been absolutely fucked for like 4 days. I can't put any weight on it, so I can't kneel down. And this is all from just like a random game. You know, you do a harmless thing, try to be a good thing, try to be a good parent, try to make sure your kids get exercise, try to engage with them. And this is the thanks I get, is essentially a broken kneecap. No thanks.
When no was thanks. This?
It's been a, oh God, probably Friday or something, maybe.
Oh, when you were still off work, running around the garden, were you, mate? Oh, was that the day after you? I've got coronavirus video went out and went viral, is it?
Several,
yeah. Oh, lovely. And you're there running around the garden, happy as Larry, chasing your daughter around, getting skin knees.
Yeah. It's true. yeah, it was good. By comparison to having to talk about when will the Premier League come back on another Red Men News show, I actually think I would prefer to have a smash kneecap. Also, my God, I did a video on this about like the football thing and where the footy's important on my channel yesterday. But I think it's mad, isn't it? Because I get it. Like there's nothing to talk about in footy anymore. I'm so bored. The news cycle is now someone relatively important says everything should be voided, and then a couple of days, like a day, a journalist will react and go, that's a bit stupid, and then a journalist will do a think piece on why football can't be voided and this is what should be happening to it, and everyone goes, oh, right. And everyone who doesn't want it voided breathes a sigh of relief, and everyone who wants it voided gets up in arms for a few days, and then it just flips. And then someone will do this, and there'll be the opposite reaction and stuff. So it's just a constant cycle of never-ending misery of whichever outcome you want from it, it being dangled in front of you, and then fucking pulled away and this smacked is, like, around your face.
I get really infuriated with this, and it's because, and I didn't say this first. I can't remember if I saw it somewhere on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Is experts don't definitively say something. Experts talk like, this could happen, we think this may happen, this is the most likely thing. Mm-hmm. But what happens on Twitter is, this is the reason why, right? Yeah. And then, so you can spot an expert a mile off. Guess yeah. what? There's no expert on Twitter. None yeah. whatsoever. And there's no one who knows what's going to happen.
There were just people with slightly more degrees of insight.
Yeah, but what's it all for? Yeah. For them to be able to say, I told you. You mean you guessed right, mate? Well done. What do you want? It was a 1 in 2 chance. It either got null and voided or didn't. And you now yeah. get to go round. It's like the Lucas Leiva haters. I told you. Mate, it was 10 years ago. Let it go. Yeah. You know what I mean? He had a good career for us. Oh, but he had one shit game. I told you. Nah, mate, just shut your face until you're ready to be told what's going to happen. Because you telling me whether this is going to happen or not is fucking irrelevant. And Johnny from down the fucking road there doesn't know what how football's going to end this season or if it's going to end. So shut your fucking face and wait for the FA and the Premier League and UEFA to pull the cock out of their arse for 1 second and actually work out what they're going to do with football.
No, 100%. This is the thing, though, isn't it? Is that because that way of talking is typical out-of-season talk. So that's how people who, you know, because that's how you talk about transfers. You don't, you say this, with, you speak with absolute certainty and you say, like, this has been, you know, this deal's done, this is all this kind of stuff. Like, and it's a lot of that similar way of talk. People talk in football and absolute, it's mad. And the problem is that, and then what you've got, and I'll be honest, I'll phrase this carefully and I trust the people watching at home know as well, love to know what I'm kind of driving at here without it being wishing to offend. The worst people adding into all this are like, well, we've got to consider people's health first. It's like, yeah, no shit. No fucking shit. The fucking, like, the safety brigade who are out going like, whoa, you can't be talking about football and pastimes at a time like this. There's people dying. I'm like, yeah, we know. I genuinely know. It's a fucking terrifying, terrifying world that we live in right now. But, like,
it's called escapism for a start.
Oh,
was there any need to put a high-vis jacket on to type that tweet, you bellend?
Honestly, fucking health and safety wankers. Health and safety wankers, give it a fucking rest.
Honey, get me my hard hat. We've got someone talking about the football again.
No, honestly, but this is the problem. We've got a bunch. It goes back to your Twitter experts thing. We've now got, everyone's read everything there is to read on coronavirus and the world and everything around it. So we're all experts, but we're only experts as far, we're only book experts to some degree. And there's varying degrees of people who've had, you can't be a true expert, but you can have a relative degree of experience. And what gets me
You can have exposure.
Literal
experience.
Yeah, exactly. You can have it, you know, you can have your opinion coloured by the circumstances that you're in. And that's just life in general, of course. But it is mad the amount of people who have become de facto experts who are going around. It's the cancel culture thing going for coronavirus. It's people policing people online. Like, stopped. I mean, this is how fucking Brexit happened, by the way. It's loads of people online with no control over this trying to tell people off for living their way. Stop being. I mean, look, I get it. It's like this whole, like, you know, we're all in this together and we all are. And as long as you're taking care of yourself and you're taking care of the things that are within your immediate grasp, then you've got to there's a degree to which you have to switch off to what everyone else is doing. If people don't want to take it seriously, I'm dead sorry that you're taking it seriously and other people aren't, but it's not your job to stop them from doing it. And another government are trying to get, like, grass your neighbours up. And I mean, you're on dodgy territory when you get into all that. I mean, it's like the most, given that the fucking Tories are terrified of socialists and communists, it's all getting a little bit, it's all starting to turn a little bit like
this
that.
This is what happens. It's why capitalism doesn't work, Paul. We know this. We know this already. Whenever anything happens, socialism is what comes to the forefront, and communism, because it works. Because it's actually got a chance. When the shit hits the fan, they turn to it. There's a reason, because it actually does fucking work. And like, it's like, look. I know we're talking about experts, and I'm saying people don't talk in absolutes. But the government keeps saying that if you've got a cough or if you've got a fever, don't go into work and self-isolate, right? And I was looking at a study this morning from King's College London that says from 400,000 people, 10% have suffered from a fever. 18% have suffered from a loss of sense of smell or taste. 28% of shortness of breath, 29% of persistent cough, 53% said they were fatigued or tired. Why are they telling us that it's a fever and a fucking persistent cough when only 10% of people have had the fever? Kat, who's ill, is one of the near 20% of people who've lost the smell and taste. She phoned up 111 and they went, no, it's only a fever or a cough, stay in. So she went into work. And then they reported it on the news that might be a symptom. So she went to her boss rather than 111, and her boss went, go home and quarantine. Are they still trying for herd immunity?
No, this is the mad thing about it. Because I was saying, I said this, the stuff that people aren't being told, and people are starting to work it out. And I'm lucky, and you know, we talk about the bubble on social media all the time. I think I've got quite an educated bubble of people on social media that I follow, so I trust a lot of the opinions and thoughts that I get through it. But so, like, David Maddock of the Mirror has been talking a lot about this, and I messaged him because he was talking about this, the testing thing and all that kind of stuff. There's so many mad things happening, and people are desperate to say to me, have you been tested? And again, this comes back to like the Corona police online, because I think some people want me to be faking. Some people wanted the whole thing not to exist.
You got views, though, lad. No wonder.
No, honestly, mate. But honestly, people.
Yeah. He just nearly died for 300,000 views, mate. He'd have preferred the fucking Liverpool vlog against the Atletico Madrid. Trust me.
Genuinely would have preferred whatever shit Crystal Palace I think we were meant to be playing, or whatever it would have been, with the title won, so nothing to play for, and the no views. But like, there's again, this Twitter, people trying to say, here's what you should be doing, and blah, blah, blah. The thing that's most shocking takeaway from this is that, like, my sister got tested, and she was told to isolate. So she's isolated with my mum and dad, and I had all the same symptoms as her, so I was isolated as well, and I'm sharing a house.
And she got tested positive.
She was tested positive, yeah. So I was, but they won't. I asked for a test, and they basically said, you've got it, there's no need, you've got the symptoms, you just need to stay at home and get well. You're not so ill that you need to go into hospital, so it doesn't matter how bad you feel. And I did feel horrendous. And in normal circumstances, I'd have absolutely gone to hospital, but they basically said, unless you can't, like, you can't form sentences, you're just gonna have to get on with it. So, but it's this whole thing.
You nearly couldn't form a sentence then, Paul. I was starting to get worried for you. Unless you can't form sentences.
Yeah. Oh, everyone reckons John Bishop has got it constantly, because that's just his speech pattern. Drives me mad. So it's this, like, how many people have actually got it thing, and I wonder why the meant to be rampant testing up. It's not going up anywhere near as quickly as people are hoping for. There's no where these antibody tests, and it comes to the point where you can't help but think conspiracy theory, because are they just trying to keep the numbers down so it looks better than it is? Because people are seeing the death numbers, and the death numbers are starting to mount up massively, and they're horrendous. But in terms of the contracted case site, there's still people going, well, it's only X number of people globally have got it. That's not the case at all. No, you know, based on the symptoms, we'll never know, and this is the problem. So I can't say this with absolute certainty, which goes back to the problem with the whole situation, is I never received an actual test, so I wasn't one of the figures. My wife's had no sense of smell and taste now for a week. She's been up and down. She's been absolutely wiped out. My kids have had fevers on and off at times during the time. In close proximity to me, odds are they've had some form of it. My cousin, who I was with the weekend before, and he's gone down with it as well. My sister had it. My mum and dad, who were in close, but my dad's now not well. They've probably had some variation on it. So I know one person who's been tested, and quite likely eight other people who've more than likely contracted the virus off the back of it, and they're not on any records anyway.
I know, including some of those people, I know 13 or 14 people, and two of them have been tested. One's my wife, who hasn't had the results yet, so I don't know whether she's on that list. One is your sister. So there's, for every one person that I know has been tested, there's about 10 people that I know that haven't, which is frightening. And these aren't 10 people that are going to probably come back negative. These are 10 people that are probably going to come back positive with it. And that's the thing. You know, I think now we're in a position whereby there won't be as many negatives coming back as there were first, because there was a fear of what is happening to me when people were sick. That flu season's actually ending now.
Yeah.
So that if people are coming down with something, it is actually more likely to this. And because people know the symptoms and know what they've been doing and are just more aware and heightened to it all, most people who go for a test will probably come back positive because they know that they've got it. That's why they're there, which is a scary, scary thing.
Yeah, that's where they're talking about that, like this peak or whatever. That's just gonna happen. they're trying to flatten it, but also it's going to happen by more testing. The more people you test, the more cases are going to go up. So and that's why I wonder why they're delaying the tests to some extent, in the hope that the death figures start to level out a bit, so they can have a win on this. Because again, you're seeing it with Trump in America. He's desperate to open the country again. He's desperate
this morning.
Well, really. Well, he's a businessman, isn't he?
He's admitted now. He's come out admitted that they're in the shit. I mean, what a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? He's got to the point where Boris Johnson.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So was, you know, when he came out in the newspaper and said, we're going to lose our loved ones, he's got to that point now this morning.
Yeah, great. But it's mad, isn't it? You know, like,
at least he stopped blaming 5G anyway.
Yeah, oh God, those absolute melts. I'm not saying 5G is good. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I haven't done radiation tests on the local environment and all that kind of stuff. And I know some people have. And
well, Johnny from down the street, though.
No, I know exactly. And I'm sure there's some people
on the bus stops.
No, 5G danger. It might be. I've got no idea. But it's probably not. It doesn't help that those like spray painting things cropped up in the months leading up to it. I mean, the only other thing that people are probably going to end up blaming is the maybes, because that's, you know,
or Man Get Out, if you've seen the Man Get Out one, yeah, on the underside of the flyover.
Sign Miss Own. They're very niche Liverpool jokes, by the way.
I always thought Sign Miss Own was a church.
Yeah.
What is it?
People are going to... Oh, okay. Just to clarify, just to give this a joke some outside of Liverpool context, Banksy. People are blaming people, you know, like because he painted things on walls. But yeah, basically, there's been these like 5G danger things been painted. It's the park by ours, the sign out there has got it painted on loads of like cable boxes and stuff. And because that's...
Sorry, you're not getting 5G round there, lad, anyway.
Honestly,
they'll be fine around there.
Not being honest, I upgraded my phone contract a couple of months ago and swerved to 5G because you can't be too careful, and also it costs too much money for too little data. But that's by the by. I've said, and I still got it. So, you know what I mean? There you go. Or did I? Conspiracy theorists. Maybe it was all for the views. No, because the whole thing's mad. The whole thing is absolutely mad. But I think it was the Echo journalist Kiva O'Neill put the tweet about this, about like, what's the sentence you've said most during this? I think I've just said it about five times. It's mad all this, isn't it?
Yeah, our minds go away.
Step back,
Robin. Just go away, please.
Just shut the door and go away. Yeah.
Just leave me alone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's funny, isn't it? You know what's the
I
one?
I know
thing
you that... can't have pudding. Have some fruit, for fuck's sakes.
Just eat fruit. That's the second. The first response is no, you can't have anything. The second response is you can have some fruit if you want. To which they always respond, no, I don't want fruit. So and then they go,
does a bourbon count?
Well, I've already gone from, in the space of 30 seconds, I've gone from the answers are hard no to you can have some fruit, which is only hop, skip and a jump away from you can have a biscuit, which is so far away from you can have basically empty the contents of the cupboard into your faces as long as you leave me alone. That's parenting 101 at this point.
They once got a box of chocolates out of me from that scenario. No, all the way through to a box of Christmas chocolates.
Fantastic. That's amazing. You know what's one thing that's getting me at the minute, and I get this because obviously Charlie's a teacher and she's not well at the moment, so she's not in work at the minute, which is going to be a whole new kettle of fish for us to all deal with when that happens and your wife goes back to work. This may be the three. Yeah, you get you. Saying the kids are going to be on the podcast. I've overcomplicated that, Chris. Let's move on.
Okay.
Wow. One of these things that's getting me, and because women are, I think, are slightly more sensitive
just
to this.
And
than
friends
mothers.
Would have done, or and family maybe.
Yeah, but yeah, and family. Yeah, Machen Pajak family podcast.
I think we're going to win it there.
Yeah, absolutely. The pressures, anyway, that mothers in particular, because I think they're slightly more sensitive. I'm not saying dads aren't sensitive to these things, because we are, but mums are more sensitive to this, of this homeschooling shit, of how, like, through social media, and homeschooling your kids has become the new, like, posh holiday photos, or anything. You know, if you only ever post the best of yourself on social media.
No, I don't.
Really?
Like, look at the state of my face, Paul, and tell me that this is the best of me.
Okay, the general you, the general public. People don't post, you know, you post your no makeup selfies, you especially, on Instagram, but you don't. You get the best possible photo you can have of yourself without that. You very rarely put things out deliberately if you're looking horrendous. It's just how it is. It's why we still shower.
For me, that would be my face of shame after I've done a disgusting poo.
Yeah. Which looks
proper shame, like you look at it and go, fuck, that's disgusting, man. I genuinely can't believe that came out of me.
The paint's peeling.
And then, yeah, just like, that's my Instagram photo.
Yeah, just take a photo. Well, like, no one takes a photo of the poo and puts it on Instagram, is the point. But what we're getting is this homeschooling thing is that everyone's posting an example of a good thing they did with the kids. And I've done this. Like, you know, here's me playing Jenga with the kids, and here's me doing this with the kids. Here's the fun moments. But when you work it out, and I had to wait it off myself, because I was like, If I just had a camera follow me around for the day, like, the unedited footage of that would be, like, there's a lot of raised voices in that, in that unbroken footage. But these are the pressures of social media. And
so
I think
you couldn't listen with headphones in, is what you're trying to tell me?
No, God, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Not without reporting us to social media. This is probably
but there, there's the thing. I know about all this, and I agree with you. Like, I think most people do it. I try not to, and maybe on Instagram, maybe actually I don't do a good enough job. But I sit here and I get it out that way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you do exactly the same, because we talk about the realness of life here. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel maybe I should do a better job on Instagram of doing it. Because maybe not everyone who sees my Instagram or whatever, but I talk about the realness of it here, and that's my escape. It's my, like, I feel good talking to you. And partly because I'm really stupid. Partly because I forget that people fucking watch this shit, Paul. So sometimes I just genuinely think it's just me and you talking. And you'd think after 10 years, you'd realise that, but you don't. I don't anyway. I'll talk to myself.
Oh, Chris, you're looking, all of a sudden, looking really sharp. Can't imagine why that will have happened from a technical perspective.
The camera's battery didn't run out 15 minutes before we realised. it definitely didn't happen, that, Paul. So we definitely didn't think that would happen, and therefore recorded the Skype conversation. We definitely didn't do that. I feel like that's a win to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's an important lesson for everyone watching at home.
We don't know what we're doing.
This is obviously very much very much a visual gag for people who are on the YouTube channel rather than the podcast list, so I apologise. Basically, yes, the camera battery died. We used to do this shit all the time. We've been doing this for 10 years. We are professionals, Chris. We are professional videographers.
Yes.
No, but I mean, like we are. Like, there's almost an argument that the amount of hours we put in, they say it's like 10,000 hours to become world-class at something. There's a case that we've at least put the hours in to be world-class.
Really? It's 10,000 hours? I think we may be the greatest ever. Never mind just world-class. We're Messi levels and we're this bad. Sometimes you just got to rely on pure talent, like Lionel Messi, and I think that's where we come off.
I think so. Also notable once again that it's the first podcast we've done without any of the production team with us, and it's gone. It could have gone better.
To be fair, like the camera, the screen doesn't turn around on it. It doesn't have a red light to tell me it's recording. Its battery ran out after a measly 31 minutes of record time. Absolutely pathetic, to be honest with you. I blame the person who bought the camera. So who was that? Was that Tom? Was that Matt? Was it Si? Who was that, Paul?
That's my bad. That is my bad. Yeah, that's true. It's absolutely my fault.
World class deflecting. It is. It's pathetic, mate.
Pathetic.
Here's the thing, right? Why? The battery's like, it's about that big. It's a bit smaller, in fact. It's probably the same size as your phone battery. And your phone battery, thinner and longer, right, is we're talking 10 hours. 10 hours. And record time, easily over an hour. Yeah. This watch battery goes 24 hours.
Yeah.
Right? It's a smartwatch. It knows what it's made for the product that it's in. Yeah. The camera recording things doesn't last more than 35 minutes. Why is that?
Do you know
that?
What the problem is, Chris? Is that also that camera is you can't change the battery without taking it off the tripod.
Oh, it's
and moreover,
and it's irritating, and you can't. The SD card's in the same place, Paul.
And moreover, there's no method, and this is a fault of cameras, that you can't put a new battery in without taking the old battery out. So there's no way to chain battery it. Shocking, absolutely shocking. Anyway, we digress. For those of you who are well into the flow of the conversation, it's not like we've just had a 2-hour gap between this bit and that bit, but here you go. What I was going to say on the Instagram thing lastly, and about just for a note for people, about the things that we put out there and how we project a better version of ourselves and what have you, is this idea that of the eight, let's say there's an 8-hour day, and there isn't because the kids are, you know, they run riot from whatever time it is they wake up in the morning. I might post an image or a quick video clip of something of them playing a game, and even if I posted like the full thing, which I don't, like I'm posting highlights from a section that might have taken an hour. What neither of us is doing, and what no parent will ever do in this period, is post photos of their kids sat watching Netflix, which, let's be fucking honest, Chris, is what the vast majority of kids are doing for the vast majority of their time.
No, in lockdown. Incorrect. Incorrect.
Go on, Disney Plus.
It's YouTube. It's fucking YouTube.
Yeah, your kids looking square-eyed at a streaming service. Admit it, at home, if you're a parent, you're doing it, and there's no shame in it. Only, I mean, provided you make an attempt, provided you wash them and clean them, that's the same thing, right. And you also feed them. Just to clarify. As long as you're taking care of their needs.
Here's how bad it's got in our house, right? Lila, she's only 3. She has some problems with pronunciation of words to the point where she can't really say her sister's name properly. She says Wobbin. It's not an issue. It's not a big issue at all, but it's her sister's name. She can say Wobbin. When she plays with her dolls, she can talk in a perfectly fluid American fucking accent because she watches that much American YouTube. It's flawless. Absolutely flawless. She's like, hey, girls. Yeah. Hey, guys. Let's go on. And you're like, oh, my God, you can't even say your sister's name. What are you doing?
My kids, Jack's not too bad, but because I think I do a lot of the accent thing, and he does dip into the American accents and stuff, and I always wind up about it, but Penny has got the most mad accents because she's a little Scouser, which is like, you know, which I, at that age I wasn't particularly, and she's got a little, like, you know, little Scousisms, but then she's also got this like posh A thing. So like, and she does it in wrong places. So instead of saying, she says massive as a new word, but she says massive, which is not even right. Massive. It's like, babe, it's massive. It's a garage. And it's a massive garage. You know, I don't have a massive garage. I'm not that middle class. But
you've
it's
got a pond there you go. It's a callback. In your garden, though.
Absolutely, yeah. My potting shed. So yeah, no, it is. That's right. That kid's picking up those American accents and stuff of it is fucking weird. But anyway, one of the points I'm driving at is that don't beat yourselves up too much. About the realities haven't changed. People still lie on social media. People still make themselves seem cooler than they are on social media. None of us are cool. None of us have got a grip on this shit in any way, shape, or form. We're all floundering, desperately trying to get our way through it. And the worst thing is we get through every day and you go, oh, like, that was a good day. And then you're like, oh, I've got to do it again tomorrow. It's like, there's no respite. There's no, I'm living for the weekend. Because what's a weekend? Weekends have gone. Someone deleted weekends, Chris.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, here's the thing. You might say to me, how do you know it's the weekend? The footy was on.
Yeah.
So as soon as the footy goes down, even whether I'm locked in my house or not, I didn't know whether it was a weekend anymore. You know, yeah. And European games were just an added little bonus in the middle of my week. It was like I had two weekends, essentially. And now I've got no weekends and I'm trapped in my house and I can't go out. And I'm saying hello to people who are dropping food off out of a window. And it's annoying and I'm not built for this. Like, people, you know, we were doing a show the other day, weren't we? And everyone was like, well, what are your quarantine tips? I haven't got any. I've not got a grip on this part of my life right now. I'm struggling massively with it all because I've got a sick wife. I've got two kids who are just...
microphone issues.
absolutely hilarious. I've set that's fallen apart. I've got cameras that you know, have no batteries. I've got a pathetic attempt at fucking a goatee.
I genuinely ask you the question, were you growing a goatee? Because it does look very goatee-ish. I'm quite proud of you.
It's a goatee. It's an attempt at a goatee. But here's the thing, and I'm going to purge it as well while I'm here.
Okay. So, well, let's move on. Let's purge. The purge. So, what are you purging?
Your
microphone pop shield.
The fucking pop shield, but most importantly, my facial hair. And I'm going to look directly at the camera for this because I think it's massively important. Because I need you to know that I know that I look like a little bit of a hairy scrotum right now. Okay, I need you to know that. But I also needed to know for my own sanity whether this would happen. Now, I have come to the conclusion, together with my wife, that it's not happening. And when I say together with my wife is I've been told I've got till this weekend. And if it's not grown by this weekend, it's coming off. And I am a man that's so far under the thumb, I'll be doing exactly that. And I'm fine with that. I am the person that I am and I know who I am. So for me, I've talked about it for years, about how I've laughed and joked about how I can't grow a beard. I've already given up on the fact that I could ever grow a beard because I can't, which is why I'm attempting to grow a goatee right now. But come this weekend, that will be 3 weeks. This is close to 3 weeks. I'm 37 fucking years old, Paul. This is pathetic.
Can I ask you, because I posed this to you the other day, are you going to try and grow your hair out one last time?
I am.
Why not? Do it.
Now's the time, because this is the point. I've always wondered whether I actually can. And I've known deep down that I can't, you know what I mean? But now I've been given the opportunity to at least attempt it without having to speak to people. Now, the problem I've got without having to speak to people is that I speak to thousands of people on a daily basis. It's just one way. But as I told you earlier on in the show and earlier on today, I'm a dickhead and I'm very stupid. So I forget that I'm talking to people. So it's fine. As long as people aren't taking the piss to my face, I can deal with that. As long as you just do it on the internet, that's fine by me.
Absolutely spot on. Yeah, no, it's fine. And I remember my cousin's husband back in the day, now ex-husband, he had this one last hurrah with his hair. He was going, he was proper bald. And he grew it out and he had this mad, like, long mane at the back. He would never be that bad. I think you could have one last, it's like one last game, one last hurrah. What I don't buy into, and I'm one of the things, what I'd like to purge, is people who have bought, like, I don't buy, It's thinning slightly. I think you're fine. It's just at the back at the top. I see it, but the average person won't see it, Chris, because you're of above average height.
The problem I've got is I'm doing the cooking videos. So on the cooking videos, I'm quite often looking down. So I'm editing it and I'm like, oh, you bald bastard.
Yeah, the only issue is, of course, is I am significantly taller than you. So I've seen this coming over the horizon, as it were, for quite some time. But it's fine. I don't love you any less. What I want to page is that you look. We're pretty much, you know, we're all in lockdown now. We're all dealing with things in our own way. But it's the people who've gone, to use the expression, and I hope this is still a fine expression to use, but which is like gone native. And it's normally people who like go back to their roots and that, like, you know, like who live off the land, those kind of people who embrace these situations. It's the people who've shaved their heads after they've been in lockdown for a week and they've gone, I'm just shave my head, that'll sort the problem. Just hang on a bit. Honestly, just hold your horses. It's like the people who've gone, like, in that first week, they've gone to the back of the freezer and they've pulled out that bag of garden peas that has been in there since like 2018, and they're like, whoa, garden peas, because I need to eat what I've got to survive. It's like, if you try, you'll probably get an Asda home delivery slot, you know, or you'll probably be able to find some solution to it. Just keep you cool on this. But yeah, the people who've gone, I'm in lockdown, what do I do? Just fucking chill out.
It's not that they're panicked, it's that they're bored, I think. They've just got nothing else to do.
They've run out of like what social media things.
Yeah.
So they've done the keepy ups. They've run out of bog roll to keep you up with. They've run out of tea bags to kick into cups. They've run out of, like, you know, that guy this morning who was running a marathon in his back garden. They can't. That's off because he's done that now. And they've gone, what else? What else is there? What's the new trend I can just do to keep myself occupied?
The only thing I can think is to go running at 8 o'clock on a Thursday.
Sure.
Because you look, if you know, everyone's clapping the NHS and it'd make you feel great, wouldn't it? Like, that's the only thing I can think of. It's like,
I'd be playing Chariots of Fire.
That's the type of encouragement I needed, lads. Cheers. Yeah, see you later.
Yeah, running is the clap of the NHS. Yeah, maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe that's what it'd be. That's like the new selfish levels. Well, yeah, just because you'd have that thousands to take to it, and then you'd have that reaction to all these selfish gobshites who are going out for a round of applause that they haven't earned. I would recommend, if anyone wants to do that, if anyone wants to go for a run or some sort of performance or some sort of wrestling entrance manoeuvre whilst people are out clapping the NHS or something, just be that prick. Because we'll just do it for our enjoyment, if nothing else, and send it in. Send it to matechexpayjack@gmail.com.
Can you do us a favour? And we'll do this socially distant, and we'll pretend it's essential travel. It will have to be essential travel. There's no pretending on this. I take that back. But for the rest of this joke, right, you come over with some toilet roll and we'll make a finish line. We'll tie it between two gardens at the end of a street or something, and I'll come flying in. Everyone will be applauding, and I'll run through the tissue roll, and then, just for shits and giggles, I'll throw a bag of pasta up in the air.
Yeah, absolutely do. Yeah, some confetti, whatever. Make sure the birds don't eat it. It's fine. It's all good. Make sure it's biodegradable.
What?
Your pasta? I mean, the pasta. Oh, yeah. It's probably, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Fine. I think it's a great idea. I think we should all be doing it, and you should all be sending it in to us. But no, what I love at the moment is that we've been in this world where Andy Warhol was right about the whole, everyone's going to be famous for 15 minutes, and Twitter has exacerbated that, which is why there's like the joke about your second threaded tweet being to promote your SoundCloud. But this lockdown has just sped that process up. It's like people have put social media trends on fast forward, like 100 speed, and we're burning through these really, really quickly. Like that toilet roll one, there's probably still people still doing it, but it's not like it's done now. It's had its day, and it was only there for a week, but it feels like it was around for a year because we've all checked our phones 1,000 times more than we would have done. So I'm bang up for it. Like, people need to invent some social media trends. I'm going to purge the people who've panicked done this in the short term in this, because look, we could be in this for the long haul, so chill your beans. By all means, do some keepy-ups, and by all means, kick tea bags and whatever else there is. You know, by all means, get all your family together and do a really cringe-worthy song that has the titles around COVID-19 in. You know, like a remix version of stuff. They're great. But don't go mad. Don't lose the plot. It's long. You're a long time locked down. That's all I'll say.
I think it's hilarious, you know. I love it. Like, it's baffling and it's mad and it's crazy, because just being serious for a minute, you've just got to, like, create your own little corner of happiness, whether you're in lockdown or not.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the point, you know. And if you can do that, you've won.
And that's been the hardest thing for me, is that, like, I had 2 weeks in quarantine, probably like 10 of that where I couldn't get out of bed, and I was beating myself up. For me, it was hard, and it's weird because there's lots of people going through much harder things, by the way. Add our COVID caveats, which might be a thing for the next couple of months. You know, there's people on, you know, on wards dying of it, so by comparison, I'd rather be me, all told. But like, that thing of when you're seeing all these people doing stuff and making the most of isolation and taking part in trends, and all these people starting new YouTube series up, you're doing your cooking stuff, and like James Alcott's doing his football manager series and all this stuff, and it's dead hard for me, because I love doing stuff, I love being active, I love making things, I love putting it out in the world, I love making stuff for other people to see and do, and that's been so hard to do, and it's been it was making me worse for ages. It was days where I'm like stressing out about not being able to do stuff, and it's like that'll come at some point in the future, and that's what you've got. It made me realize ultimately, when the time I got to the end of it, was like, there's only so much you can do, and that's whether you've got the virus or whether you've not got the virus. There's only so much you can do on a day-to-day basis. You can't be responsible for much more ultimately than your happiness and to the best of your ability, the happiness of the people you're in lockdown or in contact with. And if you can get that, which, if anyone's got the key to that, please do let us know, because it's an ongoing thing. But yeah, no, it is. That's the big battle. That's the big battle, isn't it, for the coming weeks and months, is how we keep ourselves on an even keel and adapt how we live, because how we live has completely been turned on its head. It's mad.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, what I'm enjoying about it, and people are, and myself included here, Paul, we're very quick to talk about the negatives of it. Mm-hmm. The positives are of it, for me, have been, I've kind of slowed down a bit.
Yeah.
And like, I'm actually spending more time with my kids, which is fucking boss. I'm spending more time with Kat. I'm listening to more music, and I'm not talking about I've got music on in the background. I'm talking about I'm listening to music, and it's the only thing that I'm doing at the time. Yeah. And I'm taking my time over things. I'm doing more things that I enjoy to do in the house, be that cooking or whatever. I'm enjoying doing a YouTube channel for myself. I'm finding it quite scary and all that type of stuff, because I've always had you to lean on, and I know that's something that you've said to me down the years. Yeah. when you were launching yours and stuff, so I'm going through that as well. And obviously, you know, you're worried about your friends and your family and stuff, but there are loads of positives. It's like the community spirit that's coming out of this. Yeah. It feels like we're entering a better time as a nation because of it.
Yeah.
So there's but no one's talking about them. Yeah. It's madness. No, and yet there's loads and loads of things that people are doing that are making a huge and positive impact on the world and the people around them. And that should be fought for and should be cherished.
100%. So I'm interested in that, actually. So if people are watching or listening, can you tweet in at MateXPageAck? Whenever you see something boss, when you see a positive piece of news surrounding the world, or cool things that people are putting out there that need a bit of love or attention, we'll dedicate some time to that in future podcasts. So yeah, tweet us at MateXPageAck, or you can email us MateXPageAck@gmail.com as well. You might have been checking that. I fully have not checked that email in about a month, but we will. What we probably possibly.
You know me and notifications, Paul. They get checked.
Mm. Oh, one more thing, just to clarify. I mean, most, you know, there's not as many people. I should have done this at the top. I'm fine. I'm well again now. If you want to know how I am, I'm telling you. But if you really want to ask me again, please direct it to me. Don't direct how is Paul questions to Chris anymore. He's done with them. He's had enough. He doesn't like notifications, and he doesn't care enough about me.
I'm purging all of you. Every single person that watches and listens to this shit, you're getting purged. On the off chance that you might ask me how Paul is. And I realise what I've done here, because yous are all funny fuckers, but yous are purged and blocked, so yous can't get to me anymore. Yous can't get to me. Those 100 notifications, how's Paul? Ask him your fucking self. Why are you tweeting me? It's at Mr. Blood Red. Do I look like Paul's fucking handler here? He's got a Twitter account. He's got a YouTube account. He's got fucking emails all over the shop. Ask the fucking man who's ill. I'm not fucking Paul. Stop asking me. He's a purge, he's a blocked, he's a done, and I hate every one of you, but you aren't getting to me at all.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thanks. That's been an absolute pleasure. Please do not harass Chris anymore with this. If you're still with us, thank you very much. Make sure you drop a 5-star review if you're listening on the podcast, on any podcast service that you're on, and write a little review as well and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Chris is drawing attention, and rightly so. Go and check out threadsforreds.com. They do some wonderful things. I've got one of the wonderful Campeones Del Mundo mugs. Chris has got a Dreams and Songs to Sing t-shirt on that is available on threadsforreds.com. wonderful, wonderful stuff. They've upped the quality of the garments in particular since the stuff. Obviously loads of people had the Trabs t-shirt and stuff, which I have got and wore to death. Love that t-shirt a bit, but the actual quality
have
of
you seen
the
new one
on, but it,
have you
the
seen
new
the new
Trabs one,
one?
Yeah.
No. The new t-shirts I released last week.
Oh, is this the NHS support one?
Oh my God, mate, it's brilliant. So I think it's 20% of profits or something like that are going to the NHS, the COVID-19 appeal by the NHS. So obviously they need the money and stuff now. And it's the live birds of the buildings and the clouds and a golden sky behind it, and just as at the end of a storm. And it is absolutely fucking gorgeous. Go out and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, threadsforreds.com. Yes, make sure you subscribe to the channel if you're on YouTube and you're enjoying what we're doing. And follow us at MateXPageAck on Twitter. Don't forget your 5-star reviews and all of that jazz as well. And if you've got anything you want us to discuss, whether it's positive moments or your life advice, or you've got any tips for how to survive in isolation, comment section underneath, or again, tweet us at MateXPageAck. Chris, thank you very much. One day we'll be back together, mate. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Love you, man. Big, big, big cuddle. Big digital cuddle. Oh, love you. Love you guys at home.
A bit of a semi on there, mate.
Oh. Okay. Me too. See you all soon. Ta-da.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.